are Locked On 49ers, your daily San Francisco 49ers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 49ers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. It is a Thursday. It is a NFL Draft mailbag podcast. This is the kickoff week for the NFL Draft, so I wanted to do a mailbag show that was just dedicated to draft questions as we get into this thing, and there's going to be a ton of, there's going to be every angle to discuss about the draft, and I think it's going to be a little bit more interesting. Now that the 49ers are picking second rather than first, I think that's just going to add a little bit more intrigue to the draft, and there's going to be more questions and more different angles and more different directions that the 49ers could go instead of everyone being like, the best player is probably Nick Bosa, and that's a big need for the 49ers. So that's that, and then, you know, 4 months of just that would get pretty boring. So I think it's going to be a little bit more fun this way, and that's not to say that Nick Bosa might not still be the pick for the 49ers, but going to dip into the mailbag here. We've got a lot of questions to get into. I'm going to especially talk about some edge rushers and wide receivers because those are the positions I've watched the most and I haven't really gotten deep into. I mean, I haven't finished watching all the players or every bit of tape I can find even on the players I have watched, but I've got some opinions forming about players in the draft, especially at those positions and a few other positions, but those are the ones I've gotten deepest into so far. And then I'm going to try to bring on experts at certain positions as we go through this offseason. And then, of course, we're going to look at the free agent period as well. That's really important for the 49ers in 2019. But this episode is going to be a little bit more about the draft and dipping into that listener mailbag. And there was a lot of questions I didn't get to on Wednesday with Nick because, as usual, we usually talk too much about the few questions that we do answer. Don't forget to subscribe, rate, review Locked On 49ers. We're all on iTunes. We're on Spotify. We are everywhere. Tell a friend about Locked On 49ers. If they're not a 49ers fan, let them know that they've got a podcast for their favorite team on the Locked On Podcast Network. You can find me on Twitter at BDPeacock. That's where most of these questions come from. Or you can email the show, LockedOn49ers@gmail.com. We also have the social media covered on Facebook and Instagram, although I don't go there as often for questions and things. But you can find me there as well at times. It's a lot. I need to hire a social media intern is what I need to do because there's just too much work to keep up with all of those things. And I'm on Twitter enough and too much as it is, so I don't need to add more time on any of the other versions of social media. And I'm not going to start Snapchatting and whatever new social media exists already or exists in the future, I probably will not jump on board because I'm tired. I'm a tired man who has a child at home and adult children that were NFL draft prospects that I adopt every year. Anyway, so before we get off the rails here, let's start dipping into the Locked On 49ers mailbag. Actually, sort of on that topic of things that I'm not on board with yet, one question from Mark that is not about the NFL draft. He said, will you be covering hashtag Bird Box phenomenon soon? Mark, I probably will not because I haven't seen. The only thing I know about Bird Box is I think it's maybe a horror film, and I have not gotten to that on Netflix. And to be honest with you, seeing it everywhere on Twitter makes me not want to see it. I'm getting tired of the references that I don't know, but maybe I need to watch the movie so I will get the references, and then maybe I will join in on that phenomenon of Bird Box. Maybe you guys can tell me, give me your reviews. Should I watch that or is it not worth my time? I don't know. Again, I'm a busy guy. I can't be watching every movie that there is out there because I bring you podcasts every day and I'd rather do that. Let's be honest. So let's get into the NFL draft stuff here. Let's go to Tom, who said Tom York, in fact, not that Tom York, though. What are your thoughts on the likelihood of a draft day trade with the Jaguars, swap first with the 49ers, adding Jalen Ramsey? Niners add a pass rusher in free agency and draft. Devin White, the linebacker, add a wide receiver one via trade, draft offensive line depth. Okay, so you got a lot going on there, Tom, and I like where your head's at trying to – it's always fun to try to add everything at once. O-line depth, mid-rounds, definitely like that idea. As far as Devin White, I like him as a prospect. It's an LSU linebacker. I don't think first-round linebacker is the way to go, even if you get extra draft picks. And I don't think he stacks up with, say, last year's class of linebackers. I don't think he's going to have that high of a grade, at least for most people, or for me anyway. Although, yeah, see, and it'd be still a top 10 pick if you swap pick with the Jaguars, which I like that trade idea. I don't think the Jaguars, I don't even know where it came from. Has Jalen Ramsey asked for a trade? I know there was a little, Jalen Ramsey's kind of that guy that can maybe rub some people the wrong way. I don't remember there being a thing where it was like, oh, yeah, Jalen Ramsey's going to be traded. I think someone brought up that idea once, and fans have just got excited and ran with it. The whole Jalen Ramsey thing and swapping first-round picks with the Jaguars, I think, is very unlikely, although Jalen Ramsey has a huge amount of talent and a huge amount of value, and that would definitely be worthwhile for the 49ers to add a stud corner and just move back 5 picks from 2 to 7. Jaguars picking at number 7 overall could very well be a trade partner for the 49ers. I just don't think Jalen Ramsey would be involved. More likely there'd be future first round picks and other picks involved with that. And in fact, I've talked to Zach Goodall. He is the host of Locked On Jaguars. And we talked a little bit about on Twitter about a possible trade and what that might look like if the 49ers move down with the Jags. The Jags wanted to come up. Obviously they need a quarterback. That's their big thing. And they got a lot of talent on defense, and they need a quarterback. And it was so painfully obvious this year, and they rode with Blake Bortles for so long, and I don't know what they were thinking. They gave him a 3-year contract when he was obviously already not the guy. It's crazy how long they've gone down that road, and they need to get a quarterback. And they might need someone who can play and be ready before a rookie, too. So I don't know if the rookie route is even the right way to go for the Jaguars. Maybe a right-now stopgap and see what they have and hope a rookie develops quickly. And if that guy is Ohio State quarterback Dwayne Haskins, which most people think that'll be the top quarterback, the Jaguars might have to jump some teams and maybe even thwart trades from teams behind them that might move up in front of them. So that's a possibility moving up to number 2. If a team like the Jaguars is willing to go up as high as number 2, and I don't know if Dwayne Haskins physically is that wow prospect. I've compared him to Phillip Rivers because he's got kind of a funky release, but the ball comes out quick. The ball comes out accurately. He definitely is ahead of his age as far as being able to read defenses. He looks safeties off and does a lot of little things that for a one-year starter, he's kind of a one-year wonder there, which is maybe a knock against him. But we've seen people go up for super young quarterbacks in the past. So it really depends on if a team falls in love with him. Wouldn't they? It seems like they'd probably be willing to go up to number 1 as well. It probably wouldn't cost all that much different if they're willing to throw a bunch of draft picks out there. So I think Jaguars 49ers could be a trade option. I think that could be a partnership that would work, especially if Arizona either doesn't want to move down or is asking for the world, and it's a significant difference in value and cost to go to 1 instead of number 2. There's just so many other variables, and that quarterback first has to be someone that they think is valuable and that is worth going up and trading multiple picks. It would be 2 first rounders, and it would be other picks involved, not just 2 firsts, to go up from 7 to 2, because that's what it costs to move up in the draft to do that. So, that's why the number 2 pick is so valuable. And that's why when Cole Beasley's knee came down in bounds after review and the Cowboys ended up winning that game, beating the New York Giants and the 49ers, that was what did it and put them up one more pick ahead of the New York Jets due to the strength of schedule tiebreaker. Maybe the Jets would be that team getting the offers instead of the 49ers, or maybe, the right player the 49ers want that falls to number 2, if it's Nick Bosa or whoever. Now the Jets would be there picking it too. So it's crazy how much value maybe one pick could have. But you still have to pick the right guy when you are on the clock, which is the most important thing, whether you're drafting number 1 or number 32. And we've definitely seen that, and we know that. But anyway, Zach Goodall, host of Locked On Jaguars, and I think he's going to come on a show here probably the next couple of weeks, and we're going to put our GM hats on and maybe talk trade. So we'll talk more about this, but I just said, okay, what would be your initial offer for the number 2 pick if you were the Jags GM? And he said, number 7 overall, a 2020 first-round pick, a 2023rd, and a 2024th. And most people, and I put that out there and retweeted, and I was like, what do you think, 49ers fans? What do you think about that offer? And the resounding reply was, maybe, but rather have an extra 2019 pick instead of all the 2020 picks. So some people were just like, flat out, no, we don't want to go from 2 to 7 because we want impact in the draft. When I get that, So it's an interesting scenario there, but it would definitely be two firsts and then a third, and maybe you would get that 2019 third and then another, maybe a player. Zach Goodall said that maybe Telvin Smith could be an interesting piece that the Jaguars could trade because and Robert Saleh coached him as linebackers coaching Jacksonville. He obviously fits the scheme as a linebacker, and that would be an interesting fit if the 49ers were to trade for the Jaguars. There are numerous angles and numerous players and draft picks that could make that work, but the team behind the 49ers has to fall in love with the quarterback and probably have to believe that other teams are also in love with that quarterback and might go up and get him in front of them. So Dwayne Haskins is a huge key to adding value to that 49ers number two pick. And even if a team went up to number one, that still helps the 49ers in the long run, going up to one, and then the 49ers have their pick of every non-quarterback in the draft. All right, time for a quick break here, and then I promise I will move faster on these mailbag questions. Let's take this mailbag to Lee on Twitter. He said, "Hi, Brian, could you answer a question regarding pass rush for me? If San Francisco were to pick outside linebacker Josh Allen, would they still play him at outside linebacker and rush him from there or move him to defensive end to rush? Do outside linebackers typically rush the passer in a 4-3? Thanks, Brian." Thank you for the question, Lee. So Josh Allen it would absolutely 100% be a strong side linebacker for the 49ers, especially in base defense. And then when they're in sub packages, which is a lot, 60% or so of the time, I think, is what the numbers were this year for the league, being in sub packages on offense and defense. So 60% of the time, you're not going to have your base package on the field. So that's when Josh Allen would line up, and he could either stand up or he could put his hand on the ground and be in a three-point stance and rush the passer from like the defensive end position. So essentially, think of it this way. One Josh Allen would replace both Mark Zacha and Cassius Marsh in the 49ers lineup. So when the 49ers are in sub and you see number 54 Cassius Marsh on the field, that would be pretty much what Josh Allen's doing. We saw Cassius Marsh this year line up on both left and right sides. Sometimes he's in a three-point stance. Sometimes he's standing up in a two-point stance and rushing the quarterback. And that's your third down situations. And then in base, he'd be out there setting the edge against the run, chasing guys down, doing a little bit of coverage stuff, and also rushing from base because teams throw out of base packages as well. And so he could rush from there and be like an extra blitzer and an extra rusher. So you could do a lot of things with Josh Allen. And he's really versatile, and I think that's where he shines, and that's where his value is he's so versatile, and he does have enough size to line up as a defensive end, especially when you don't expect him to have a lot of run responsibilities and take on a bunch of big blockers and a bunch of offensive tackles in the run game. But he can cover, and he's super athletic, and he's long, and he's gained a lot of weight since last year. When I saw him last year, I was like, oh, this is a second or third round draft pick. And I earlier this year, I even watched some of his 2017, and I was like, I'm not sold. And then I saw more of his 2018 tapes, like, okay, he's definitely bigger. He's lining up more as an edge rusher this year for Kentucky, and he, you know, put on another 15 pounds or 20 pounds. He looks a lot bigger than last year. I've seen some people say he's listed at 6'5", 260. He's definitely not that. I would be blown away if he's anywhere close to that. I think he's maybe 6'4". 250-ish, which is fine. That's fine size. That's what Cassius Marsh's size is. And he's really athletic. But yeah, he would be the Sam linebacker for the 49ers. And the Sam linebackers and the Leos, they're part of an edge group. And when they're in meetings in the 49ers practice, they are in the same room. So the Sam is an edge position for the 49ers. That's the way they look at it. So Sam, Leo, kind of interchangeable there, especially on third downs. But on base downs, you can have bigger defensive ends like Armstead and Solomon Thomas that are better against the run. And then you would have someone like Josh Allen playing outside linebacker in that case. So when it comes to here, let's go to CeeLo, more about Josh Allen. And Josh Allen's going to be a huge part of this offseason for the 49ers, and fans are already really excited. He had three sacks in that bowl game against Penn State. But two of those sacks came on a stunt, and CeeLo asks, and he's seen me talk about this, and I know Eric Crocker is with me on this. We talked a little bit about this a few days ago on Twitter. He said, "Why is it that you are not as high on Josh Allen as a large part of the draft community is?" And I love Josh Allen still, and I like the player. I like the person. He's a hardworking guy. He's gone from a 210-pound, I think, part-time wide receiver and linebacker in high school to a 200 and whatever he is now, 50-pound stud. He's a beast, and he works hard, and he is a leader of that Kentucky defense, and I love all of those things. He's not a guy you're going to have to worry about shutting it down in the NFL. He's a hardworking guy, has, you know, he grades out well with character and all of those things, and all the reports are glowing for Josh Allen in that regard, which I love. And it looks like he's got long arms, and he's got that length you want to see. And he's definitely athletic, you could tell. But when you talk about the number two overall pick, and I'm just going off tape, and you can box score scout if you want. He had a bunch of sacks, I think 14 sacks this year before the bowl game, and 18 tackles for loss or something. So production is there. But man, what do you want in a top five outside linebacker if you draft him? You want Khalil Mack, you want Von Miller. And I don't see that on tape from Josh Allen. I just don't see him disrupting the game on a down in and down out basis. And the reason I have someone like Nick Bosa higher than him is because every play, Bosa's doing something that's impacting the game. He's beating his man. He's gaining leverage on the offensive tackle off of one edge or another. And super active. And Josh Allen's active too. He's got a high motor. He's got a lot of things you like. There's just something missing. When I watch the Josh Allen tape, I don't see someone who's impactful every single play. There's too many plays where he stays blocked. He doesn't have a good pass rush plan. He doesn't have a counter move when his first move is stoned. He wants to just out-athlete offensive tackles to the quarterback. And I think it's maybe even scheme-wise, it's almost like they don't ask him to do something specific. They just kind of let him go. And there's a lot of plays where he's just out there. But at the same time, so that means maybe when he develops more technique, then maybe the sky's the limit for that guy. You know, if he works out extremely well, and he passes all of the interview process with flying colors, which I expect him to. That's why I keep saying with Josh Allen, and I have him as a first-round player. Number two overall right now, I can't put my stamp on that. But I would feel better about Josh Allen, and like let's say you did that trade with the Jaguars, move back to pick seven. I'd feel a lot better about him there, you know, because you're gaining, you know, extra picks. A first round pick and Josh Allen. Okay, now we're talking, rather than just drafting him at number two and saying, no, we don't want to move out of this because we want to draft Josh Allen. But here's the part of the process where I think it could help Josh Allen, and I would feel better about him that high in the draft. And that's if he goes to the Senior Bowl, gets coached by the 49ers staff or whichever team he played for, wouldn't matter. But I want to see him in those one-on-ones. I want to see that technique. And I want to see if you can at least squint and be like, okay, yeah, when he puts this move with this move and see that work ethic, even over the span of a week, you can see players get better when they're doing one-on-ones. And it's all about reps and it's all about technique. And it's like, okay, let's see him just, you know, dominate these other offensive tackles. And you see that technique and then you can kind of see, okay, this is how good he can be. And then he goes to the combine, obviously, and in workouts and blows those up. So you have all of the physical ability in the world, all of the internal, like just that drive to be great and be good. And with all the raw tools and he checks out all those boxes, then it's like you feel better about it because you think he can get to where he needs to be. And maybe he could get to that Von Miller, that Khalil Mack level. But I went back and watched Khalil Mack tape from when he was at Buffalo just to be sure. I was like, okay, what does that look like in college? And it's different. It looks different. I'll put a video up on Twitter. And Khalil Mack was putting future NFL offensive tackles in quarterbacks' laps. There was this famous game where the Buffalo, which is not a big college and it's not a football powerhouse, where Khalil Mack went to college, they played Ohio State, which is way above their level, right? He is dominating Taylor Decker, who was a future high draft pick, a future NFL player. And he's bull rushing him in his back. You see that patented move that Khalil Mack has is that long arm move where he just moves the defensive tackle back. The speed to power conversion you hear people talk about a lot with edge rushers. Khalil Mack has that. I don't see that from Josh Allen. He definitely doesn't have that explosion and bend that Von Miller has to get around the corner. Even someone like Harold Landry last year that we saw that he had. But he does have a lot of athletic ability. And occasionally you'll see like a really good hand swipe move or just like it just flashes. So I want to see more consistent play from Josh Allen. And I didn't see that as good as he is to stamp him with the number two overall pick. Even though, and it sounds, and it's crazy for me to say, like, I think he's a mid first round player, but I just can't put him that high. And I think a lot of people disagree with me. A lot of people are super excited right now. Even some of them, when I mentioned that Jaguars trade moving down to seven, they're like, no, we can't miss out on Josh Allen moving out of the number two spot. That's how much they like him. I'm not on board at that level yet with Josh Allen. All right, let's take a quick break here and we'll finish up this Locked On 49ers NFL Draft mailbag. And I promised during the last segment I was going to go faster with these mailbag questions, and I don't think I lived up to that promise. Here we go. We'll try to do it here in rapid fire some of these. Rod asks, do you still rate Ed Oliver higher than Allen? I don't think so, because I don't think I ever rated Ed Oliver, because I'm looking at him as an interior player, even though he might play some end, but he's just that, you know, inside out, outside in player the 49ers have too many of. So I haven't really considered him that much for the 49ers. So I really rate him separately than most of the other edge guys. And there's a lot of good edge guys. Josh Allen's right there with Jakai Polite, who I like a lot, who's super explosive off the edge, about 6'2", 250. So not very different in size from Josh Allen. Would play a similar position, outside linebacker, and then rush from the edge on third downs and, you know, stand up a little bit and do some of those things. Brian Burns, long 6'5". He's only about 230 pounds, but I really like Brian Burns as a first-round edge player. Probably would have to start out at Sam, but he doesn't have as much, I think, speed and range maybe in coverage as Allen and Jakai Polite would have. And he's not as big to hold up against the run, even though, you know, you don't really see him have problems against the run, but at 235 pounds or whatever he weighs, he's really linear and really thin. Lining him up on the line of scrimmage would worry you a little bit, I think. So that's why I think Brian Burns, as good as he is, and a lot of people like him as the second edge after Bosa, I think he has the potential to drop the farthest in the draft, just because I think it'll be harder scheme-wise for people to really understand and really get a feel for where they want to put him. And because I just think at that light, people aren't going to want to use him as an end. And he's not quite as rangy and athletic speed-wise in coverage duties and sort of run and tackle in space as, say, Jakai Polite and Josh Allen are, which is why I think he might go behind those guys. I actually get a little bit of a Leonard Floyd vibe from Brian Burns. I think that would be my comp for Brian Burns, Leonard Floyd, outside linebacker for the Chicago Bears, who went really high. I think it was a top 10, maybe top 15 pick by the Bears a few years ago. And then some bigger-bodied players, obviously Bosa's number one for me, and then there's a big gap, and then the rest of these guys I'm mentioning are kind of all grouped together as sort of mid-first-rounders for me. There, I think Jakai Polite might be second, then Josh Allen is right there. Cleveland Farrell's a bigger body, 260-pound, like prototype, defensive end, long arms. I think the NFL people are going to like him more than the fans do, and I think the fans are going to like Josh Allen more than NFL people do. That's just the feel I get right now about it. Cleveland Farrell's just not as sexy as Josh Allen. And then Montez Sweat is another one. He was invited to the Senior Bowl, would probably play on that South squad, and he's really big and long. He's about 6'6 and 250 pounds, and so a really long, and would probably, he could play some outside linebacker, I think. I think all these guys in certain schemes could play some outside linebacker, because you've got outside linebackers in the NFL that are in 3-4 defenses that are 270 pounds. And like I mentioned before, teams are in sub so much that those outside linebackers in a 3-4 are really just mostly defensive ends most of the time anyway. So Montez Sweat is there. I would rank him probably last of that group. So again, here's my order. Nick Bosa, way out in front. Then there's a really tight group of Jakai Polite, Josh Allen, Cleveland Farrell, Brian Burns, and Montez Sweat. And those are my first round edge guys. And there's other edge guys to look at. There's a chance one of those guys even slips to the top of the second round. And speaking of the Senior Bowl, Jalen Ferguson from Louisiana Tech is one. And then O'Shane Zimenez from, I believe, Old Dominion. Small school guy. I've only seen one of his games. He's another interesting one that's going to be at the Senior Bowl. So multiple edge guys. Such a great edge class. The 49ers, I think, could probably grab a couple pretty easily in the first three or four rounds if they aren't able to attack that position in free agency. But I will say one more thing on Josh Allen. One of the players I might want to comp to Josh Allen is Anthony Barr, who just happens to be a free agent and who I think was underutilized as a pass rusher in that pure 4-3 defense in Minnesota, and he wasn't given a shot, even though he grades out well and does pretty well. And he was crazy productive, just like Josh Allen in college. He had 23 sacks his last 2 years at UCLA. And height, weight, speed, he's got all of that. And I wonder if there's not more there if you were unleashing him more off the edge as a pass rusher. That's why someone like Anthony Barr might excite me a little bit in free agency, because I think there's more there, especially getting after the quarterback, and he could play that, obviously, every down Sam position, and then a speed rusher off the edge. Very intriguing. And then I would be much preferable to that than spending the number two overall pick on Josh Allen right now. But I'm going to try. I want to like Josh Allen more. I want him. It's the best thing for the 49ers. If he was Von Miller or Khalil Mack, that would be amazing. If he's sitting there at number two for the 49ers, I want to like him that much. I'm going to try as hard as I can, guys. But right now, I'm just not there with Josh Allen. Okay, let's talk real quick about wide receivers, because I put my list of my top few wide receivers. I think the guys I like right now that would be maybe first round grades for me, that you would hope one of these players would fall to the second round, would be 1, DK Metcalf, 2, Hakeem Butler from Iowa State, 3, Riley Ridley, Calvin Ridley's little brother from Georgia, and then 4 would be N'Keal Harry from Arizona State. That's the group I like the most at the top right now. And if one of those guys was to fall to the top of the second round and you get your pass rusher at the top of the first round, that would just be an easy card to turn in on draft day, I think, for me. But there are some other players that can play their way in, and there's a ton of wide receivers to watch, and I haven't looked at all of them yet. But looking at those big body guys, those are the players I really like. Hakeem Butler is the one that's going to be all over the place, I think, by evaluators, because he's so big, 6'5", 6'6", 225 pounds or whatever he is. But he's really athletic, too, and he's loose for a big player. And I see a walking mismatch on tape. I see him do things that's like none of these other guys can do. And when it comes to Fernando's question here, who said, what about the kid from Stanford, J.J. Arcega-Whiteside? And I like Whiteside. I would probably say he's a third rounder for me. Kelvin Harmon, NC State, is another guy who's a big-bodied receiver. There's a lot of good big-bodied wide receivers in this draft, which is nice because the draft is lining up for some of the needs for the 49ers. Whiteside and Harmon, I see big players that don't separate a ton in college. And so when I rank him with, say, Hakeem Butler, and that's going to be the thing with him when you're in a big, oversized wide receiver and you play above the rim and you're like that power forward, I see a lot more juice from Hakeem Butler, and he does those things that you see bodying up and making catches in close spaces and going over the top of guys and being a red zone threat. Hakeem Butler does all those things better than Whiteside and Harmon to me, even though he might look a little more raw sometimes, but purely athleticism and what he can do with his body and body control at his size, it's crazy. And he's got the hops to go with 6'5", 37-inch vertical. That's the thing with Butler, the people who aren't on board with him right now might get on board if he works out like I think he could at the combine. You know, if he breaks 4.55 in the 40 and he jumps 37 inches in the vertical like it's rumored, and apparently he's in the weight room, he's really good too, so squatting a ton and the bench press, and he was a part of Bruce Feldman's preseason college article about freaks in the college game, and he does this every year and outlines players who are freakishly athletic, and Hakeem Butler is one of those guys, and you see it on the field. I see some movement skills from him and some route running ability. I think the sky's the limit with Hakeem Butler, which is why I like him so much. And he's probably the most likely of the group of four players that I gave first round grades to there. And I'm not done evaluating those guys yet either. So they're pretty close, and that could have some movement. But Butler's the one that really excites me. I really like the Plaxico Burress comparison for Hakeem Butler. Maybe even some Mike Evans if he got a little bit more refined. But at the same time, I think he's probably the guy that Kyle Shanahan probably doesn't like that much. Kyle Shanahan likes the jitterbug types, the true separators. So maybe Riley Ridley of those taller wide receivers, even though he's the smallest of those, you know, 6'1", 6'2", 200 pounds, 210 pounds or something like that. But he's the best separator and the best route runner, even though he wasn't highly utilized in that Georgia offense. A lot of people are comparing him to Michael Thomas out of Ohio State when he was coming out of college, that he just was underutilized in college, wasn't thrown to that much. And then you see him take off in an offense like the Saints have and a quarterback with Drew Brees. You're like, wow, people are making that comparison with Riley Ridley. He's not as powerfully built, and I don't think he's as good of a power player as Michael Thomas is. But he's a good prospect, and I like him. And there's a chance he's there at the top of the second round, which I think would be a fantastic fit. But Butler is probably, even though I like him a lot and I think he's a walking mismatch, I don't know if Shanahan's going to love him. I think Shanahan will like N'Keal Harry more, and I think he'll like Riley Ridley more, and he'll probably like some of the other guys that are smaller wide receivers like Hollywood Brown, Marquise Brown from Oklahoma, who's, by the way, Antonio Brown's cousin, I believe, and he's lightning fast, but only about 5'10". Hunter Renfro is your classic Patriots white guy slot receiver. He'll be at the Senior Bowl too, but he can get open, get those, make those tough third down catches. Keyshawn Johnson is an interesting name from Fresno State. No relation to the other Keyshawn Johnson. I think he might be a guy that that Kyle Shanahan likes. I can't remember if he got a Senior Bowl invite or he might be. You know, I think he's an underclassman. I don't know. I can't remember. But no, there's a lot of names, a lot of wide receivers I'm going to get into. But right now, the four names I mentioned, Metcalf, Butler, Ridley, N'Keal Harry, those are my top four right now that I would hope one of those guys could be there at the top of the second round for the 49ers. I was asked about Deebo Samuel and A.J. Brown. Both those guys I see playing a lot in the slot. They're sort of almost like running back build wide receivers, like where they're really thick. And A.J. Brown, I know he was more productive in college and more heavily targeted out of the slot at Ole Miss than D.K. Metcalf was, but I just don't see the upside there with him. And I just pigeonholing a guy as the big slot receiver, it just feels wrong for what the 49ers need. And Deebo Samuel is like, I mean, he's going to definitely get compared to Golden Tate because that's his build, right? He's 5'10", 210 pounds, built like a running back. Again, I think he's more of a slot guy, a lot of crossing routes and you catch and run stuff. I don't love him for the 49ers either. But a lot more tape to watch, so much work to do, so many prospects out there to look at. We're just at the tip of the iceberg here. 49ers need top-end talent. They need depth at numerous positions, offense and defense. We'll get into all that stuff all offseason long here on the show. Plenty of time. All right, that's going to do it for this episode of Locked On 49ers. Thanks, everybody, for those mailbag questions. We're going to keep the mailbag going often and maybe even throw a little mailbag in every episode as we get through this offseason. Who knows? Because the questions keep coming in. I have fun answering them. It takes me on some new angles and new directions that I might not think about going in on some of these podcasts. And there's going to be less news, less game action to talk about. So let's get into whatever you guys want to talk about here on the podcast. This is your podcast. And we're going to keep it going here 4 days a week in the off season. So I will be back most likely Monday through Thursday is when I'll do them. So I'll be back here on Monday. We'll have some great guests for you lined up next week right here on Locked On 49ers.